This is Kate in the podcast Find It. This is the third in a series on holy living. This session is called The Concept of Idolatry. When Moses climbed Mount Sinai, God gave Moses a gift so many thousands of years ago. In Hebrew, this gift was called the Ten Words. We call them now the Ten Commandments, and they were written on stone tablets. They form the bedrock of the Judeo-Christian faith, and here is how they begin. I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of bondage. You shall have no other gods but me. God identifies the divine self. I am is the name for God, or Yahweh, which is the sound of your breath. I am. So whenever we breathe, we speak God's name. As life moves through our lungs, spirit, we become fully alive. And then Yahweh also identifies as the one who acts in history. I am the one who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. I brought you out of bondage and into freedom. I am your liberator, and now I will teach you how to be free and care for yourselves. You shall have no other gods before me. This first commandment is related to the second. You shall not make for yourself an idol, whether in the form of anything that is in heaven above, or that is on the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them or worship them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing children for the iniquity of their parents to the third and fourth generation of those who reject me, but showing steadfast love to the thousandth generation of those who love me and keep my commandments. Idolatry is the worship of anything that is not God. When we worship anything that is not God, we create an idol, an object or thing that tries to take the place of God. How do we understand this today? How can we translate this to our modern minds and lives? There may be something that you are convinced would make you better, would solve all your problems, would cure all your ills. If this thing becomes the all-encompassing goal of your life, then it becomes an idol. An idol is a goal taken too far. An idol is something that we believe will give us everything we need: love, companionship, happiness. An idol is that thing that would answer all our needs. The result of idol worship is estrangement from God. It is ultimately unhappiness and even misery. For when we chase anything that is not God as if it is God, we doom ourselves. Take, for example, food. It is good to earn enough money to eat. Jesus says, "Give us this day our daily bread." But if you think that eating enough of good food will fix all your problems, it starts to become an idol. Or maybe you think if you ate less food, it would fix all your problems. Here is a second example of idolatry. Tony started drinking in his teens. He was awkward, shy, and his dad was a drinker. He immediately noticed how when he drank, he lost his inhibitions. He became the person that he always wanted to be. He felt better. Alcohol made his life so much more interesting, so he started drinking regularly, and slowly, alcohol, that thing that he thought made him cool and relaxed and fixed his problems, turned into his disease. As the drinking increased, so Tony's life gradually began to unravel. The loose, cool guy that he initially was when he drank turned into a mean, scary guy, a guy just like his dad. He became trapped in an addiction that would not let him go. He crashed a car, he got thrown in jail, he lost his job, until he finally realized that he was powerless over alcohol, that his life had become unmanageable, as they say in the first of the 12 steps, and that he needed God. He realized that alcohol was not God. It had become more like the devil, in fact, in his life. It was ruining his life. Another, much more socially acceptable form of idolatry is romantic love. You can see it in the movies, the advertisements on TV. If I could just find that perfect person, my soulmate, then my life would be great. People even sometimes find that perfect one, but the feeling of being in love tends to last, psychologists tell us, about 3 years. Then each person will wake up to see the faults of the other and will decide either to love in a deeper way or to leave. But the idol of finding that person who will solve your problems and make your life work out just right, that idol can keep you from acknowledging your own faults and the faults of another person. It can keep you from seeing the complexities of life. It can lead to a kind of shallow existence where the romantic searches for that kind of infatuated love forever, moving from one lover to another, or lamenting that the one they love is so imperfect. And that's the reason for all their problems. This idol can keep one striving and searching forever. Or here's a really subtle one that our culture completely buys into. Money. If I just got paid more, if I just had enough money, I could live high. I could take that vacation, get that car, pay off my loans. And these are wonderful goals until they become the answer to all happiness and joy. And the accumulation of money becomes the ultimate goal of life, one that you would sacrifice your relationships for, or maybe your health, or both. Our culture entices us to worship money. They even call our money owned our net worth, as if our value was calculated in the amount of money we have. This subtle and terrible idolatry keeps people running their whole lives, chasing after something that money could never buy, never fully satisfied, never accepting themselves, always wanting more. The purpose of an idol is to keep you chasing after something that ultimately won't feed you. Meanwhile, not spending enough time with God. Work can become an idol. Busyness, even. Whatever you think will solve your problems. If it's not God, it's an idol. Your own marriage can become an idol if you're not careful, for no one person can fill the void that only God can fill. Right after Jesus was baptized, he went into the desert to become familiar with his own mind. Jesus knew that in the quiet of the desert, he would hear what temptation sounded like. So too, if we want to belong to God and God alone, we must listen for, uncover, and identify our temptations. For it is our temptations that lead us into idolatry. Every one of us is tempted by many things. These temptations would define us. They would make us think that to have them was to be happy forever. They would entrap us in a search for their fruit that will never fill us. They are, in fact, the fruit of the Garden of Eden. How do we begin to awaken to the idols of our lives? We begin with the simple and ancient practices of the faith. Start by doing a few things regularly, even if you don't feel like it. First, sit alone with God and listen to your mind. Listen to your cravings, your hopes, your desires, and dreams. Just listen to the way your mind is tempted. Number two, attend worship. Just show up. Receive the bread and the wine in the way you would receive the love of your life or the best drink ever. Just do it week after week. It's kind of like going to the chiropractor. It keeps you spiritually aligned and your priorities in order. And three, give. Give to the poor, give to the church, give to a cause that inspires you. Find a way not to simply hold on to everything you own as if it defines you, but instead let the practice of generosity feed your soul. Idolatry is very subtle. Even the practices of the faith themselves can become idols, as in the case of the Pharisees. So don't ever judge the practices of another. And know that if you are able to practice the faith, it is only by the grace of God. Give thanks to God for everything, knowing that all gifts come from the Holy One. And without God, we would not be able to do any of this. And listen carefully. Stay awake as your crafty and creative mind tries to create new idols every day. Thank you so much for joining me today. Good luck listening to your minds, and may God bless you until we meet again.